Ok? Feedback is very, very loud feedback. One, two, two. Better? Quite a bit of feed, huh? Is it because? Check, one, two. Better? Okay, yeah. One, two, one, one, one. Okay, guys, let's start. Father, we thank you for this time. We come before you. We ask, O God, that even as the word is given forth, Lord, this word will touch hearts. Father, we know that we're in the house of God. May your presence abound. May you touch our lives. May you cause us to look towards you. And we know that the word will just be a word that will be of balming effect to encourage your people. We commit all we have to you. Father, we pray for all the things that matter to us. But Lord, we want to ask, O God, that you take priority, even as we put you first. All the rest of the things will fall into place. Father, we thank you, bless you, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome today with a smaller crowd. I think I know a lot of people are traveling. Silas is in Japan, a few other people are all over the place. So that's we expect the month of June. Come, Ivy, join us. Today we have a privilege to carry on with the Name of God series. Last week, Silas got us starting, and today on the cover, Jehovah Jireh. And I think we will finish really smack on time today. And we'll take it from there. I want to just talk about how the word Jehovah Jireh, we all know the God that provides, right? So when we talk about Jehovah Jireh, the key verse and the key verse that really anchors it is Genesis 22. Not the key verse, but the key chapter, Genesis 22. But as we start, we talk about Jehovah Jireh, I want to just give the Hebrew word Raha. Go to the first slide. Thank you, Malcolm. Raha. From which the word Jireh is derived, it means to see. And I want you to go to the guiding chapter for today. It will be Genesis chapter 22. Can you go to the Bibles, go to Genesis 22, and we want to take it from there. Genesis 22, and we know that in Genesis 22, at verse 14, and later we'll go to this story, and today I want to spend some time. We are very familiar with the story about how Abraham was tested together with Isaac. But I want to go just jump straight into Genesis 22:14. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So whenever we talk about Jehovah Jireh, this is almost like the key verse, 22:14. Abraham, after going through what he did go through, he called that place, the Lord will provide. The Hebrew word Ra'ah, from which the word Jireh is derived, it means to see. Right, Jehovah Jireh is to see. And translated, the word translated, Jehovah Jireh to see, translated is actually to say what? In this case, it's translated as to provide. To see is to provide. Next slide. But when we look at the word provide, there are two Latin words that come together. Next slide, please. The word provide, the two Latin words that come together, the word provide, the two Latin words come together, they make up this meaning, the definition. To provide means to see beforehand. So when we talk about Jehovah Jireh to provide, we must understand that the word provide means the two Latin words coming together. It means to what? To see beforehand. Whenever we talk about God providing, you must understand that God provides. But how does God provide? Why does God provide? How come He can provide? Because He knows beforehand. And I think that frames and that changes the way you look at things, doesn't it? To see beforehand. God is able to provide because He sees beforehand. He sees beforehand. He knows, for example, what June needs. He knows that maybe June has gone through something. Maybe He also knows that June is getting on and now has to put on reading glass. So God provide the money to buy the reading glass. So God knows beforehand that June will one day come, like join all of us, have to wear progressive lens, right? But God will provide the finances so that beforehand, God already knows that June needs to wear reading glasses. To see beforehand. So I want you to be encouraged. When we talk about God provides, you must understand that it's not only like, oh, God provides. But why is it that God can provide? Because He sees beforehand. So I want you to be encouraged. Next slide. That God is the God that sees the future. He knows the past and the present. He knows the past. He knows the present. He also knows the future. So with that, you should be very comforted that He's a God that can provide. God sees the situation beforehand and is able to provide for all you need. So I thought it is a good starting frame of reference, and we look at the word Jehovah Jireh. This is the God that provides. All right? I want you to then go into Genesis 22, and with that, we want to frame and understand the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, what it means, and how do we look further into this. Genesis 22, I want you to go to Genesis 22, and we want to spend some time on this story that all of us should be quite familiar with by this time. Genesis 22, if you start with Abraham being tested, sometime later, verse 21, Genesis 22, verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. So I want to first tell you something. When we look at Genesis 22, framing what we know to be the Word of God, Genesis 22, 14, on this mountain when Abraham was tested, and then God provided the place that Abraham was. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. But in verse 20, Genesis 22, verse 1, you see how it all started. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Before we even talk about God being the one that provides, God provides because He knows what you need, right? But guess what? Before we even talk about that, first you know that God allows us to be tested. Sabrina, you'll be tested. You have been tested. You will be tested. You continue to be tested. But at the same time, God will provide. He provided before. He will provide in the present. He will also provide in the future. But understand the need to understand that there's both the proviso, the provisions of God. Yet at the same time, God will test you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. God doesn't need your permission to test you. God doesn't have to, like, in verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. There's no permission. God doesn't need your permission, Clarissa, for you to be tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He does not need your permission. Ask Abraham. Ask Job. Do you know about Job? Job is another one, right? If you read the book of Job, some of us are very familiar. It was the devil who said, you know, this guy, Job, he's got everything. No wonder he's so obedient. So God said, why don't you go and test him? You can do anything to Job. The Word of God says, do anything to Job, but do not take Job's life. God allowed Job to be tested. The only proviso, what was that? God told Satan, you cannot touch his life. Are you aware of the book of Job? So ask Abraham, ask Job. These people were tested, but God didn't go to Ivy, can I have a permission to test you? No. Can I have permission to test you? No, God will test you anyway. So sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, God called Abraham, and that's the first test. And what is the answer? June, what's the answer with your new reading class? Answer to God, here I am. God is a God that will provide. But first and foremost, as you understand the context, if you look at the end of 22 verse 1, he said to Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. The first thing you need to do is, do you hear I am? It's not broken English. Do you hear I am? What does a here I am tell you? You're available. You are there. Sometimes we have colleagues, or we have subordinates, or we have superiors, right? Wing! Actually, Wing not around. We're just talking to Wing in the toilet. I have very meaningful conversations with people in the toilet. Then he tells me, whatever, some people he work with, they are not available. Call them. Nobody picks up the phone. Right? First thing to do is, before you understand that God provides, God also will test you. And when God tests you, first thing you should do is, be available. Here I am. The people that I really see, although our church is growing in size, and some people say we're like a family church and we're growing, but I'm very hand to heart, I see people growing. And a person that I really see really growing is Gun. Gun exhibits the response. Gun! Ivy, we call Gun, what happened? He said, here I am. Tell him go London, he go. Tell him to carry my bag in London last year, he carry. He never say, wow, so heavy, ask me to carry. You know, Zach, I made him carry my bag in London because the bag, I cannot carry. Number one, so narrow. Number two, my bag is this removable bag, so big. I say, if I carry this thing, if I carry the bag upstairs, I may not carry it down anymore because I myself cannot come down anymore. But tell Gun does. Tell him, can you start a cell group together with youth, Zach, and then Brian, and then Tiffany? It's done. Here I am. There is the need for us to what? To provide that availability, the here I am. Are you available? Some people, when God calls, Joey! But Joey not around. Or Joey's around, pretend not to be around, or pretend never to hear. Isn't that a problem with some of us? Do you have colleagues like that? Call, nobody picks up the phone. My firm, sometimes when the recept goes on holiday, that's the worst thing. Recept not around, you're supposed to pick up the phone, right? Because of the office is big enough for you to hear the thing. But nobody picks up. Do you have that problem? Joey, are you a recept? Recept not around, no one else picks up. That availability, that obedience is missing. So that's the context of this very, very famous story. Then God said, verse 2, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and I want you to bring him to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Clear instructions. So once you are obedient, God will then give you clear instructions. Wing, I want you to do this. Take your son. Use the example because you got no son in mind. Take your son, but think, if you have a son, Sabrina, take your son whom you love and bring him to the region of Moriah. Bring him there for what? Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Can the instructions be any clearer than that? Cannot be any clearer. Take your son. Who is the burnt offering? Your son. Verse 22:2. Now, listen. When Abraham heard this, you must also understand the context. When Abraham heard this, if you go to Genesis 21:12, know that God spoke to Abraham about what he will do in and through Isaac. If you go to Genesis 21:12, skip with me, go back to Genesis 21:12. It's not on the slide, but Genesis 21:12, yeah, it is there. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. This is what God told Abraham in relation to Isaac. This is what God says. Listen to whatever Sarah, your wife, tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also because of your offspring. But in relation to your Isaac, I will be using him. It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. So in Genesis 21, God says, I will multiply you, so to speak, right, through Isaac. But yet in Genesis 22, what does God say? I want you to bring Isaac up to the mountain. He is going to be a sacrifice. If you were Abraham, when you hear verse 22:2, what will you say? The Hokkien called God, the Zun Mo. In 21, you told me my son will be the one from which I have offspring, right? And then now you tell me you want to sacrifice my son. Are you sure you're telling me the right thing? And that's sometimes, isn't that what we go through? Sometimes when we hear God telling us something, the first thing we ask is, God, are you sure? Didn't you tell me one chapter earlier, Genesis 21, that this is what's going to happen? You're going to use my son's offspring from when we launch back and multiply generations after generations, but now you're going to take him. But I just show you, after that, you come to the end of the story, but I jump a few sentences. You go to Genesis 22:12. Know this thing. Do not lay a hand on the boy, the angel said to Abraham. Do not do anything on him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. What does that tell you? We'll go through the story, but I tell you first that there is the need for obedience. Obedience to the point of not even questioning the reasonableness of the order. Are you with me? It's like I'm telling Royston, Colonel, I want you to take your, I'm the general, Royston, take all your troops, including all your corporals and Zachary and sergeants and the nurse and the chief medic. I want you to charge up now. When actually Royston says charge up now, they're going to shoot us. They're looking at us clearly. If you charge up, sure die one. You go anyway. And that obedience. Abraham is being tested. When it was told to Abraham, take your son, your only son, who is being tested? Keep the slide there, don't touch. Who is being tested? It is Abraham being tested, right? Because it is Abraham that's been told to bring the son. But when Abraham is tested, who does Abraham have to answer to? Abraham to answer to Sarah, you know. Sarah is the mother. Sarah is the one who says in verse 21, the birth of Isaac. Sarah was so happy. In verse 21, in Genesis 21, verse 6, Sarah says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne to Abraham a son in his old age. So Sarah very happy, right? At this lao kok of age, Sarah gave a son to Abraham. And Abraham was prepared to take this son to be a burnt offering. So when Abraham is tested, he says, okay, he just straight away take the son and he starts on the three-day journey to go up to Mount Moriah. When he is being tested, you must understand, who does he need to account to? He needs to account to the wife. He needs to account to his intellect. He needs to account because the intellect doesn't make sense, because that goes against what God said to him, right? That he will use Isaac to be the launchpad, the offspring. He's having to account to his intellect. I mean, people like Gunn, very intellectual, right? It is like testing your intellect. When God tests you many ways. God tests your commitment. God can also test your intellect, isn't it? You would think, cannot be God. You said you're going to use Isaac to be a launchpad. Now you tell me to sacrifice him. I think, God, you have made a mistake. A test on your intellect, a test on what you're going to tell your wife. A test on what you're going to tell your friends. Because you've told my friends, maybe Abraham will tell friends, oh, God is so good now, when I'm so old, Sarah at 100 years old, whatever age may be, give me a son. A test to the community. Have to account to the community. Account to his own intellect. Account to the wife. Account to friends. And guess what? Account to Isaac as well. Who is being tested? Is it only Abraham? Can I suggest to you that Isaac is also tested? Is that correct? When God tests Abraham, the verse says sometime later God tested Abraham. I suggest to you that when God tests Abraham, Isaac was also being tested. Does it make sense? Because it is Isaac that's going to be sacrificed, no? Not Abraham actually. June, come with me to Mount Amokyo. Leon, leave your wife with me. You follow me. We're going up there. You are going to be the burnt offering. Who's being tested? June is being tested. Not me, right? Not you, Leon. But June is being tested with a reading glass. Can't see, never mind. Better still, don't see better. Come, let's go up to the mountain. So the person that's being tested, I want to suggest to you, it's not only Abraham. The bird being tested is also Isaac. And the person that's being tested, Abraham, Isaac, both of them had to deal with what was going to happen to them. Before God provides, I want to tell you, we have to provide first. Jehovah Jireh, right? Before God provides, you have to provide first. What do you need to provide? You need to provide your availability. You need to provide your obedience. Actually, the first thing you need to do is you need to trust God. Trust God despite the fact that intellectually it may not make sense to you. I'm not telling you to become stupid. But you've got to trust God and then to obey Him. But before God provides, Jehovah Jireh, we have to provide first. What do you provide? You provide your availability. You provide that trusting attitude towards God. So, what happens? Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his Isaac's son. When he cut through enough wood, set out for the place on the third day. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. From the time God told Abraham that you needed to do this, until the time he reached Mount Moriah, how many days was it? At least 3, if not 4 days. He had a lot of time to think. It's easily 72 hours, if not 96 hours. 72 hours, do you think Abraham is thinking? He's thinking of obeying, but along the way, he'll be thinking, you know. Hey God, does he think? Or is this just blind faith? Do you think he has questions? What do you think? I suggest to you, he may have some questions, right? The Bible doesn't tell us, but he goes anyway. He is so convinced that God is going to be for him, he goes anyway. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back to you. Abraham said, verse 6, took the wood for the burnt offerings and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. Question, how old was Isaac at the time of this sacrifice? Anybody knows? The Bible is not clear. Number one, if the Bible is not clear, maybe the age is not very important, right? But I can give you a goalpost. He can be anything from 20 to 30 thereabouts. He's not 4 years old. He's not 5 years old. The greatest sin I can tell about the age is this. Look at verse 36, verse 22, verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. It is Isaac who was carrying the wood. Can a three-year-old carry the wood for the burnt offering? You want to sacrifice a person as a human offering? Do you know how much wood you need? Certainly not wood so light that a three-year-old can carry, right? It is a wood enough for someone who's got a certain strength, right? So I want to suggest to you, Isaac, at the very least, would be a teenager with some physical strength, if not someone in his 20s. The Bible doesn't tell us how old he was, but I think if you look at some of the mechanics, at least within the range of anything between 5 and 37, because we know Sarah died at 127, okay? Gave birth to Isaac when she was 90. So 37 years, but it's somewhere in between. So I suggest to you that he could be maybe anything closer to about 20 or thereabouts, but he is certainly someone that was able to carry the wood. Listen, at the same time as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke and said to his father, "Father," question, "Yes, my son," Abraham replied, "the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" What does Abraham's answer say? Abraham didn't say, "You are the burnt offering." Did Abraham say that? He didn't. But what will Isaac think? Ivy, there is fire, there is wood, but there's no lamb. Who's the burnt offering? It's Isaac. But Isaac was also obedient, isn't it? Did he protest? Did he fight? He didn't. So sometimes when we read the story, some people always say, I mean, even the text tells me, my Bible says, under the category of Genesis 22, the header, it says Abraham tested. Can I suggest to you, sometimes when someone is tested, if for example, if I'm tested, guess what? Karen is also tested as well. Sometimes when June is being tested, your wife is also being tested. When June is being tested, maybe your children can be tested as well. I want to coin the phrase vicarious testing. Someone you are being tested, the family members are also tested. Here, Isaac was being tested. He is physically strong enough. Did he protest? He says, "I am not playing this game. You mean what, Dad? I'm going to be the burnt offering. I'm taking this wood, I'm walking away." Could he have done that? He could. Did he do that? No. What does he do? "The fire and wood are here, but where's the lamb?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood, he bound his son. If Isaac is strong enough to carry the wood, he will be strong enough to fight the father if he need to. Agree? Did he fight his father? He didn't. He allowed himself to be bound. I thought that was amazing. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Not only bind you, but lay you. June, come, come, come. Bind you and then put you on the table. You are going to be the char siu. Did Isaac protest? Does the Bible say he protest? He did not. And verse 10 says, he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac was going to do it. This is almost like a drama, but the angel of the Lord called up to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." What's the answer again? I never saw it, but I see it again. What is the same answer he gave? What does he say at verse 11? The three words, Joey, "Here I am." Can you imagine? It's quite funny. So you want to pretend act blur, right? The first time when God called Abraham, he says, "Here I am." Can you imagine now God call you, Abraham, to stop you from slaying your own son? You don't recognize it's God. You don't say, "Here I am." What do? You actually kill your own son. So I tell you guys, sharpen. Can we learn how to respond to God? I never saw it until I see it again. Verse 1, when God called Abraham, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And now the angel saw that he was going to take the knife to kill his own son. What does he call? "Abraham, Abraham." And what does Abraham say again? "Here I am." Isn't that consistent? But can you imagine if Abraham didn't hear or choose not to hear or ignore, he would have killed his own son. Does it make sense? here I am is so important. Here I am tells you, you hear and you respond. Can you imagine I tell you, gun, here I am. That's the problem sometimes when we have people who crossroads. When they crossroad, they either WhatsApping, if not, they wear, what's that thing called? iPod. iPod, is it? AirPod. Totally noise, shut out 100%. Now you know why there's so many accidents. That's why I still got some business to do sometimes. Because I do a lot of accidents, not at all. Completely shut off, correct? You just walk. How many of us, when we walk, actually, we're WhatsApping? Are you crossing roads, looking? Or you just actually playing game? Or just wearing this iPods? You're completely not knowing what's happening. Isn't that also a problem? Or are you doing here I am? It's so important to be there, to listen to God, right? If you didn't listen to God, you'd have killed his own son. Here I am, he replied, do not lay a hand on the boy, do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. So question, was there a burnt offering? Answer, yes. When did Abraham see the burnt offering? When? Only after he passed the test. You understand? What did God say? Number one, verse 1, God already said, God didn't say it. We know from the word of God, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Did Abraham pass the test? Answer is yes. So did Abraham pass the test? Yes. Next question. When did the burnt offering appear? Before or after Abraham passed the test? After. Isn't that how God works? You need to pass the test first. Then the ram came. The best part is I was searching the word. Was there any indication that Abraham saw the lamb before he put Isaac on there? No, he didn't. He was so focused, he was ready to slay his own son using the knife. It was only after he passed the test, then the ram appeared. Abraham looked up. So it's only after he passed the test when the angel called, Abraham, Joto mate, no need to kill your son. And then he looked up and saw in a thicket a ram caught up by his horns, went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his only son. So I want to suggest to you, when God provides the solution, or he provides something, you must first pass the test. What's the test? What's the test that you need to go through? And different factuals, matrix, right? But sometimes the test always requires you to be what? Obedient. To trust. And to obey God. The ram was not shown, or at least we know that Abraham did not see the ram until he passed the test. Are you with me? I thought that's a very important truth as we look at Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He provides for all of us, but first and foremost, we need to pass the test. What was Abraham thinking? He had 3 days. What was in his mind? And I want to tell you that maybe Hebrews 11, 17, 19 will give you a framework or a explanation of what he was thinking. If you can go to Hebrews 11, 17, 19, just go to Hebrews, will you? And you'll find the answer. And this is your famous passage in Hebrew that talks about people of faith. Can you go to Hebrews 17, 19? Let me find it as well. Hebrews 17, 19. Hebrews 17, 19. I read for you. By faith, are you there? Hebrews 17. By faith, Abraham said, when God tested him, he offered Isaac a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. That's what we went through, right? Remember? Because God told him in Genesis 21 that he will, through Isaac, be the launch pad for all the generations to come. So he was about to sacrifice. Hebrews 11, 19 tells you what Abraham was thinking. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So what was Abraham thinking when he was prepared to kill his son? he was prepared to kill his son, thinking that this God can also raise what? Isaac from the dead. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in the manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Crazy, huh? That's the kind of faith Abraham had. The kind of faith, the kind of thinking, the kind of obedience that was involved. When we talk about being reasonable, what do we talk about? Here, Abraham reasoned, right? Hebrews 17:19. When we talk about being reasonable, sometimes when we talk about being reasonable, what do we talk about? The word reasonable. Next slide. Having sound judgment, fair and sensible. So when I ask Joey, hey, can you please be reasonable? Your car is blocking me. No? Can you please move your car away? Be reasonable. That means they're telling you, can you be fair? Can you be sensible about it? That's in the eyes of the world, right? Being reasonable. That's the definition. But was it reasonable that Abraham had to sacrifice his son? In the eyes of the world, it would have been unreasonable, right? Sabrina, what do you think? Is it reasonable? The answer is no. In the secular sense, if you think about it, I think a lot of people will say, it is not reasonable. Leon, is it reasonable that you need to sacrifice your son? The answer is no. But he did it anyway. So what is reasonable in the eyes of this world? What is reasonable in the eyes of God? What are you thinking? So these are some of the things we need to ask ourselves. So when we talk about the word reason, when Abraham reasoned, was it reasonable? Reasonable in the eyes of the world? But is it reasonable in the eyes of God? What is reasonable? What was undergirding the thinking of Abraham? You go back to Genesis 22:12. I tell you something there that will be of some indication. The angel said, do not do anything to your son, because now I know that you fear God. So when he's reasoning, what was in his mind? The two F's, right? Number one, he had a fear of God. Genesis 22:12 says, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. That's Genesis 12. It really tells you that God knows that Abraham feared God. So when Abraham is reasoning, he had the fear of God. Make sense? Number two, he had faith in God. So the two F's here in play, he had fear of God. He had faith in God. He had faith that even if it means that Isaac was going to be slain, Isaac will be raised. Amazing, isn't it? That's the measure of the man. The fear of God, the faith in God. Even as we talk about what is reasonable, Abraham reasoned that God will take care of him. Even if it means that Isaac will be slain, God can raise him up from the dead. Now, isn't that a story that we all know? God allowed for Isaac to be spared. But what about God himself when it came to Jesus? So I tell you, the Bible's interesting, isn't it? This is a precursor of what will happen to Jesus, right? Abraham was prepared to kill his own son, but the son was spared because God provided the ram, Jehovah Jireh. But what about God himself? Did he spare his only son, Jesus? He did not. Was he the burnt offering, the sacrifice, Jesus? He was. And Jesus died. But just like Abraham reasoned, Jesus actually rose from the dead, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful, the word of God? How this was a precursor in Genesis, you already know that this is God telling you or showing you that that's what he was going to do for all of us here. This is a precursor. How Abraham was prepared to sacrifice, but God allowed him not to have to sacrifice Isaac. But God ultimately would do it with his own son, Jesus. Fear and faith working together, leading to obedience in action. I want to just frame it for us as we think about it. What was the reward? In Genesis 22:17, when God saw that Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his only son, look at verse 17. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the skies and the stars, as the stars in the sky, sorry, and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Why? God gives the answer, right? Because you have obeyed me. That's the key, isn't it? Because of the obedience of Abraham, you get all your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies through your offspring, including Isaac, of course. All nations on earth will be blessed. Why? Verse 22:18. Because you have obeyed me. The key to receiving Jehovah Jireh, what you need is obedience. I want to take this time to just give some testimonies, and I'm sure we have time of testimonies of work. So for example, work, when God provides, how do we, when we want God to provide, I mean, I personally, when I want God to provide, first thing you do is, God will sometimes test you, right? There are so many things to do as a law firm, but there are so many things that you need to handle, but do you then therefore say, God, I'm so busy with this Clarissa, a demanding client, I've got no time to even talk to Clarissa about God. You just want to finish Clarissa, who's so demanding. Sometimes you're so tempted to say, I've finished with Clarissa, I don't want to talk to her anymore, let her quickly go. Or does God say, okay, you're finished with her, you have 10 more minutes, try to talk to her about God. Isn't it very tempting sometimes to just say, I've already done the piece of work, I don't need to talk anymore, I just want to finish, talk to Clarissa some more, then she asks some more questions, I don't talk to her anymore, quickly let her get out of the office and don't need to talk anymore. But time and again, I always find that if you are prepared to do at work, the time you give some time to just work and time combined, you give some time to do God, so God will open doors and then the people will just respond. And God works in mysterious ways. There's this person I wanted to just bring to church today. He can't make it, but I think he may come one day. His name is Elvin. Do you know why Elvin will come to church? That's because when I told one of my interns to send an email to Elvin, he sent to the wrong Elvin. Suppose sent to this Elvin, he sent to the wrong Elvin. The message went to this Elvin. Then Elvin wrote back to me and said, Daniel, this email not for me, right? They said, yeah, you're the wrong Elvin. I apologize. And then I was reminded, I'm supposed to connect with him. And I did. Last week, I caught up with him for lunch. And then we talk about a few things, and then he may come and visit us, and there's some things that we can do for his family. Do you give time to God? Do you like, you know, when you talk about tithing, most of the time we think about tithing what? Tithing is what? If you earn 5,000, give $500, that's tithing, right? But how about tithing your time? Joey, do you tithe your time? Do you give 1/10 of your time? If you're 24 hours, do you give 2.4 hours to God? Do you give time to God so that you do God's work? That's tithing, isn't it? The concept of tithing. Some people, actually, money is nothing to him. So tell me to tithe 10%. Let's say I'm very rich. 10% nothing. I already got 20 million. Leon, tithe. Never mind, give 15%. But then that's not really tithing because there's no element of sacrifice, isn't it? Do you tithe? Do you give time to God so that although you're very, very busy with other things, do you give time to God? Then some people will be, because tithing is bad for them. I know Silas talks about it. He's like Mr. Tithing, right? But I've seen, he's not here. I know the man tithes, man. So I'm so blessed together with Winnie. Although they went through a period about 3 to 4 years, but they did the cafe and then the hostel. I remember the daughter said we were becoming progressively bankrupt. I saw those years in 3 to 4 years. They were really not doing so well. But God provided. Did I tell you that during that time he had a neck injury? Did I tell you that I got him a mount that I never gotten before for any other victim? The judge, now that matter said, the judge indicated a figure that I've never seen before after that. That figure is like some angel say, and then we use that basis of the figure to settle the matter. I've never seen that figure before. The indication was like an angelic figure. It's like God speaking, and then that amount, I think, helped me to tie through that time for him. But he's been richly blessed. Look at Winnie and him. Everything that they need, God has provided. Unless some of us think that life is so easy, Karen and I have been blessed with a new mate. She's from a certain country. I think we were so blessed to have her. I threw some T-shirts away. My T-shirts are not Winnie not here, but I say, it's not Winnie's kind of T-shirt, no. My kind of T-shirt is really, when I throw something, it really means jialat, then I throw. It's like those collar, the thing got holes, everything that I throw. Whereas Karen's always telling me throw things I don't throw. I'm almost like a hoarder. So I threw into my basket. That means throw already. That means going to waste a basket. You know what she did? She went to Karen and said, Ma'am, can I take the shirts and wear? Because she got no shirt. That's how poor they are in Borish. Why did she come to work in Singapore? Because the family cannot feed her. for us Singaporeans, what do we fight about? No car lah, whatever. But do we have the basics? Does God provide? We don't see that in some of the countries. It's really something I want us to think about. So I want to understand that as we talk about God being the provider, He provides everything that we need. Tomorrow, Karen and I, maybe I should tell Karen to come, because sometimes she's the PR person. I'm not a PR, but I talk too much. Tomorrow, Karen and I will try very hard to just tell you enough and yet don't tell you too much. You all know about my two kids, right? Tomorrow, we will go to a certain country to go for some medical appointments. In Singapore, this medication will cost a substantial six-figure permanently every year times two. I can tell you, I don't know about you, I cannot afford it. But to cut the long story short, now we have an opportunity to go to this place and get some checks done and everything. This medication that we say is worth, not worth, costs so much in Singapore, we'll be all able to get it at a certain place at a fraction of the price. At least this amount, although still quite expensive, is an amount that I can afford. The most, I don't buy any more shirts. Tell Silas, whatever you don't wear, pass to me. Oh, then whatever Winnie don't wear, pass to Karen, the two of us wear. Just like my helper can take my shirts, then we pass down. Oh God, anything don't wear, pass to me. But God provides, and I'm just really amazed. Remember we had this leaders meeting, was it in Silas House? I told you the figures is crazy. Man. I can't imagine those figures. From the time was in February that we met until now, God has provided. And I think the children also see that God provides and pray for us whether the medication will work or not. You take time, right? It's not like this kind of medication, it's not like nurses. It's not like take Sien Tan, a pass straight away and run, become Shanti Pereira. No, but you just take and then we see how it goes. But I want to encourage us. God is a God that provides for all that we need. Do you give in your work? Do you give time for God? In your time, do you give time to God? Do you tithe the kids? Do you spend time with them? Are you with them? Are you watching over them? My son has been sleeping in my bedroom yesterday. Don't know what happened. He says, I'm going to sleep in my own room. Maybe I will lose him. He won't sleep with me anymore. Zach, do you sleep in the same room with your father? Cannot be, right? The day will come whereby you will leave. But as the kids go up, our kids, our tithing, our time, our work, what's your reasoning when we don't give time to God? Do we use kids as a reason? Do we use tithing? God, I can't afford it. Time, I got no time. Or do we pass the test each time when God calls us? Or do you think that you will provide all the time that when God calls you, obey, because you will have this in your mind, that God will see to it? Maybe that was what was Abraham's thorn, you know, when he was in the 3 days, right? He had to send 2 hours to think when he's bringing Isaac, prepared to go and kill his own son. In his mind, he's thinking, God, you're Jehovah Jireh, God will see to it. Do you understand? That's in his mind. God will see to it. He's a God that's able to provide all that I need. I want to read this to you, and I thought this was interesting. Let me just show you. This is what I read. This is from a certain article. Let me find it for you. This writer says, without obedience, you will never experience the provision God intends for us. His name is Alexander McLaren, a 19th century Scottish preacher. He reminds us, however, that God's provision is never automatic. This is what he says. If we wish to have our outward needs supplied, our outward weaknesses strengthened, power and energy sufficient for duty, wisdom for perplexity, a share in the sacrifice which takes away the sins of the world, we receive them all on the condition that we are found in the place where all God's provision is treasured. One more time. If we are thinking that we will receive all these things, we must know that we receive them on one condition. What's the condition, Sabrina? That these provisions of God are found in the place where all God's provision is treasured. Show the next slide, please. If a man chooses to sit outside the baker's shop, he may starve on his threshold, And if we will not ascend to the hill of the Lord and stand in His holy place by simple faith and by true communion of heart and life, God's endless provision is not zero to us, and we are empty in the midst of affluence. The writer says, if we've been sitting outside the baker's shop, hungry for God's blessing, ask Him to help you to move inside by giving you the grace to obey even the smallest command. God is the owner of a thousand hills, right? The cattle of a thousand. He owns everything. But just because He owns everything doesn't mean that you get what God wants to give you. You must be at the place whereby you can receive the provision. You understand? And that place of receiving God's provision is the place of obedience. Ask Abraham. Ask Job. You must be prepared to obey first. If you're not prepared to obey, you don't get what God needs. And if you're not prepared to obey, I mean, the medicine thing for the kids, if we are not in a place of obedience and still serving God, isn't it very convenient? Gun? I can say, Gun, I'm sorry, I think, can y'all give me 2 years break from church? Because I need to take care of my kids. Does it sound reasonable to you? Maybe it sounds reasonable, right? Secularly. If I tell you my 2 kids are June, I got to deal with them for 2 years. Can spare me? Leon, you take over. Royston, speak every week. Silas, you take over. Give me 2 years. Is it reasonable? In the eyes of the world? Sounds reasonable, right? I got to deal with them. I got to earn money to pay for medication. No. But or do we say, God, you're Jehovah Jireh. I trust you. I obey you. I come to the place of the baker's shop. I will choose not to sit outside the baker's shop. I will get in there. I will continue to obey you. And I find that your provision is full for me. I'm not empty in the midst of affluence. I get all I need because we trust God. Next slide. Rick Warren, my favorite. I suspect also Royston's favorite. He's got a new book talking about daring to dream. And I'll just share this with you. If you want God to show you His dream for your life, and maybe one of these days after we are done with this name of series, I want to talk about God's dreams for us. You can either dream your dream, Royston, then I'll say keep on dreaming, or you can dream God's dreams. God can have a dream for you. God wants you to do His dreams. Was it Abraham's dream to be a father of nations, or is it God's dream for Abraham? Answer. You think Abraham, I want to be Lao Pei of all nations? No, you think Abraham's stupid, ah? He doesn't know a thing. He's just sitting down there in Genesis 12:1. God says to you, I will make your descendants as multiple as the stars in the skies and what have you, right? It is question that dream that God had for Abraham. Is it Abraham's dream for himself or God's dream for Abraham? Answer, it's God's dream for him. Did Moses dream that he will go and release the Jews from Egypt? Whose dream was it? It's God's dream for Moses. You understand? A lot of times, if you dream your own dream, my friend, don't waste time lah. What for? Liao gang. Is it my dream to start this? Maybe this is what somebody say, you got nothing better to do. Or is it God's dream? If you want God to show you His dream for your life, then you must be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Listen, even before He tells you to do it. Don't say, God, show me what you want me to do, and then I'll say yes. One more time. Don't say, God, show me what you want me to do, and then I'll say yes. That's not obedience, friend. That's not even faith. There's no fear, there's no obedience. And a lot of us, like, what do? We count the cost. 你要我做啊? 你先跟我讲, 你要我做什么first啊? That's not God's economy, you understand? That's not God's reasoning. And this is why I like. I underlined it. Rick Warren in his latest book says, just say yes and then He will show you what to do. And then you'll see God, Jehovah Jireh, coming for you. Just say yes. Abraham is a precursor to Jesus, isn't it? The one and only son who was obedient unto death. And yet, he was also the resurrected one. I say one more time, it is almost like poetry in motion, right? Abraham was spared having to kill his son, but God didn't spare His only begotten son. God sacrificed Jesus. Obedient unto death. Isn't that what Jesus was? He was obedient unto death. At the Garden of Gethsemane, did Jesus ask God, God, my son now, is I will? He carried on obedient unto death. And he's also the resurrected one. We serve a God, Jehovah Jireh, the one and only God, would not spare a son. So as we come to understand Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Why does he provide? How does he provide? He provides because he sees beforehand. He knows what you need, Gan. He knows what you need in the past. He knows what you need in the present. He knows what you need in the future. So with that, I want to ask Karen to come forward, and today we sing only one song. Next week, we have Faith. Gan is speaking. Joe is leading worship. Phyllis is playing guitar because a lot of us are traveling. But you know what? I like Joe. Joe say yes first. If she's stone deaf, please report to me. But what do we do? What does Rick Warren say? Just say yes. And then he'll show you what to do. Don't tell God, God, you want me to do something? I mean, Gan didn't. What? Ivy, your son, you were married well. He didn't ask, what needs to be done? Do this. Say yes first. Just say yes, and then God will show you what to do. But as you pass the test, God will provide all you need, right? He won't show you everything first. You must say yes first. And then all the resources, Jehovah Jireh will step in. All the things you need, he provides. Isn't that what he did for Abraham? Isn't that what he's been doing for all our lives? Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come to the end of this service. A miracle. We finished before 6 today, as it should be. Father, thank you for being Jehovah Jireh. And I want to take this time before we end. I want you to just come, my brother and sister, and those on YouTube, and those who link the state service. Will you come before God and say, God, I recognize you. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees, the one who sees all I need, the one who sees beforehand. And if there's somebody you, will you be obedient to the Lord and say, God, and maybe some of you have been challenged by God to do something, will you say yes to him? Say yes to him now. Say yes first, and you provide all you need. I've seen it so many times. I say yes first, and God provides the clients, provide the finances. I said yes first. Sometimes saying yes means that you say no. By saying yes, you say no, God, I'm not going to stop serving you. You understand? It's so easy sometimes. Leon can say, oh, I'm so tired now. I don't want to do this anymore. Or do you say, God, give me a job that allows me to say yes to you? So will you spend this time today? We have a lot of time. Because it's me speaking, not Silas, with time. Spend time with God. Say yes to him. Father, thank you. You're Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for seeing beforehand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your obedient and trusting servants who know that they will have a God that's watching them all the time. And then God, you provide all that we need. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we just all stand before the Lord? We're going to sing a song together. You're more than enough, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. More than enough for me. Sing Jehovah Jireh, my brother. Jehovah Jireh. You are more than enough. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all I need. You're more than enough. You are more than enough. More than enough. Sisters, you sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Jehovah Jireh.
Brothers, we sing Jehovah Rapha.
Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all I need. You are more than enough, more than enough, more than...
All together now, Jehovah Shammah, you are with us.
Jehovah Rama, you are with me. You supply all I need. You are more than enough, more than enough, more than enough.
One more time, Jehovah Shammah, we bring the service to an end.
Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all I need. You are more than enough, more than enough, more than enough for me. You are more than enough, more than enough, more.
Will you lift your hands before the Lord? I want to challenge you, if there's somebody perhaps God is calling for your time, God is calling for your finances, God is calling for your change of attitude so that you're able to do more for Him. But as you've seen from Abraham, when God tests, God will provide. But we have to provide first. We provide that availability, that obedience. And if there's somebody, will you respond to God now and say, God, precious time, God, just like Abraham, he said it twice in Genesis 22, God, here I am. Will you in your spirit just tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. And if that's you, with your hands open, your palms to the heavens, God, my brother and sister, he's saying or she's saying to you, God, here I am. So now in Jesus' name, the Lord bless you. The Lord provide all that you need, even as you serve Him. The Lord will not shortchange you. As you come to a point of sacrifice, God will provide the ram in the thicket. So you see that when you obey, God provides. Father, we thank you, we bless you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this sister and brother. Lord, never allow them to be shortchanged. Let them walk in faith and in fear of God. Father, we thank you, bless you. We pray all this through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're dismissed. God bless you.